Now, here are some of the letters received at the Evening News during the past week. Our first two are on the subject of electric vehicles and the government's plan to charge users. Trevor Lewis from Trouse writes, "Rural drivers face EV, that's electric vehicle tax, raid blow," shouts a recent headline. Forgive me, but is not one of the smug responses from EV drivers that their fuel is so cheap compared to with those driving ICE, that's an internal combustion engine, vehicles, and who contributes mightily to the exchequer through taxes on petroleum-based fuels, and thus saving EV drivers much money? Perhaps the headline should have read, "Rural EV drivers to give back some of their fuel savings." Given the general disparity in new vehicle prices, anyone who can afford a new EV cannot be short of a bob or two in the first place.
And GP Brown from Norwich has a jab at electric vehicle drivers versus internal combustion engine drivers. "The impact on rural drivers of the pay per mile tax for electric and plug-in hybrid cars is only one element of a complex picture, and probably not the most important one. Urban on-street parking drivers are more likely to have to use public charging points, typically at around 80p per kilowatt, typically 20p a mile. A rural house is more likely than its town counterpart to have a drive, enabling off-peak home charging for as little as 2p a mile, or even less if the house has solar panels. This is the true EV postcode lottery. Public charging can cost 10 times as much as home charging. Whichever group you fall into, a further threepence or 1.5p a mile makes little difference. Expensive becomes a little more expensive, and cheap is still cheap."
We now have a letter from a lady I knew 30-odd years ago, and then she was known for writing poetry and has a great level of sensitivity to our fellow human beings. So here's the letter from Olive English from Saxlingham Nethergate. "This poem came out of my head this breakfast time, and I rather like it, though it is a bit patient strong and not Wordsworth, but I thought your more elderly readers might enjoy it, and its sentiments are very true. Dear friends, come round and have a weep, come round and have a hug, come round and have a laugh when the going gets too tough. Friends are always handy, especially when you're stressed. Knowing they're close at hand is a reason we are blessed. So raise a glass to nearby friends whose love make us secure and safe and happy in our homes with care that will endure. Let's all watch out for aged friends. Make sure they're safe and well. Kindness shown is never lost, and also, who can tell? One day we will all get old. It's not a happy thought. So kind and loving friends nearby will make old age less fraught. So thank you, friends. Your watchful love does make a happy day. So do come round and have a weep. Come round and have a laugh and a smile. Forget your woes and miseries. Dear friends, make life worthwhile."
Marcus Moore from Sprouston thinks the King is right in moving out of Buckingham Palace. "King Charles and Queen Camilla will not live at Buckingham Palace when refurbishments are completed next year, the latest royal accounts have revealed. I don't blame the King if Clarence House feels like home to him, as people often prefer to downsize as they age. While marking the end of an era and a generational shift, opening this very grand building for public tours could transform it into a spectacular tourist attraction, echoing fond memories I have of visiting with the social group several years ago.
Finally, Steve McKinder from Denver is having a dig at potholes we have just heard about. The staggering revelation of the very belated filling of some of Norfolk's mounting tally of potholes will no doubt be met with a hapless shrug from those responsible for the fiasco, and here in Denver we've seen similar delays. However, could I offer the Denver theory to explain this apparent tardiness? We noted that once reported, a whole technician arrived with a large can of white spray paint and artistically constructed a perfect circle around the hole. We theorised the council's potholes protocol then allows them to wait the days, weeks and months until the hole physically touches the painted circle before they're supposed to patch it. Comically, we have noted that on occasion the white circle had been breached and the hole technician has popped back and crafted another large white circle, which may explain why some holes took 287 days to fix. Clearly, Norfolk's white paint czar is using up his entire budget on pothole paint, which may go some way towards revealing why most of our white lines and road markings have worn away and never get a top-up.